If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless the reading of the Word of God, that we might honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our words and with our lives in this church, and that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now our focus today in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19 through 23, our focus today is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the reconciler of holy God to sinful man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the reconciler of holy God to sinful man. So we come to this season of the year and we think about so many wonderful themes and so many wonderful opportunities and ideas about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, Paul introduces us to this very important truth. In fact, this is at the heart of the good news of the gospel. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the reconciler between holy God and sinful mankind. The only way we can be saved is through the work of Jesus as the reconciler. So we see it several times here. Let me make just a few comments as you have your Bible open. Notice Paul says in verse 20, through him, that is through Jesus Christ, he reconciled all things to himself. God the Father reconciled all things through the work of Jesus Christ, having, notice what it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross through him. Then we read again this word reconciled in verse number 22. We're reminded, in fact, Paul reminds the church at Colossae, and I'm going to speak to you today about this very, very important thing. There's a time when we're not saved and we're not reconciled to God. And then there is a time when those of us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been reconciled to God. There's a way open for you to be reconciled to God from your sin. And so Paul describes both sides. Verse 21, he describes what sinful man is like, and we'll talk about this in a moment, what sinful man is like before he's reconciled to God. But then he says, yet now he has reconciled you. Past tense. The way to be reconciled to God has now been taken, has now been accomplished through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Reconciliation. The only way to really appreciate reconciliation is to think about the opposite, which is alienation or separation. So here we are at this time of the year. We go through this every year in our families, with our friends and with others. We have these gatherings, and what I'm about to say is not a joke. It's not at all a joke. It's a very serious matter. Families have to decide who they're going to invite and who they wish wouldn't come to their gatherings, because there's all kinds of broken relationships in families. Because of the high rate of divorce among couples in the United States, here in Middle Tennessee, boys and girls have to be divided up between parents, moms and dads, husbands and wives who can't get along, who've divorced, and now there's this brokenness in the relationships. And there's always this underlying worry, this separation. Families not able to be together. Or if families are together, there are those who would wish that some would not be there. Separation. Separation in families at this most special time of the year. There are those who won't even come to the celebrations that their families have because they are separated, and because of their own anger, frustration, whatever it may be, whatever the cause, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose fault it is or all the rest. There's separation in families in a time when there ought to be great reconciliation and peace and relationships. So the only way for me to explain to you today and try to help us all remember the unbelievable good news of reconciliation in Jesus Christ is to use this sad example that happens among people all over the world, and including all the people who live in our part of the world, this matter of separation in relationships. And the matter of separation in relationships, everybody takes a side. It's his fault, her fault, their fault, whatever it is. Some parts of the family can't get with other parts of the family. And it goes on from generation to generation. Fathers teach their sons and daughters, well, we just don't associate with those people. Separation. Alienation. Hostility. Anger. Bitterness. Places in the world where people are enemies toward others. And wars take place where people seek to kill and destroy each other. Separation, enmity, hostility, and anger. And then we read these glorious words from the Word of God. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Lord Jesus Christ to reconcile. What a great word, reconcile. What does this word mean? It means for two, really the best word picture for it is two bitter enemies come and embrace. They make peace. They become dearest of friends. They become cherished lovers of each other. Reconciliation, not separation. Reconciliation, being reconciled. As we read, through the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are reconciled to God the Father, having made peace through the blood of His cross. God the Father desires to have relationship with us. But there is sin that breaks our relationship. There must be a reconciler. There must be one who comes to put holy God and sinful man into relationship again. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. During this time of the year, you ought to think about reconciliation. You cannot appreciate reconciliation unless you understand the deep, serious pain, loss, and sadness of separation and alienation. So there are three observations I want to make from these verses, beginning in verse 19, down through verse number 23. Three observations. Number one, I want to point out to you what we have in verse number 19 and 20. For here we read these words that teach us that God the Father, number one, God the Father is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder today, how pleased are you with Jesus Christ the Lord? When Jesus Christ was baptized, the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It pleased the Father. What is the pleasure of the Father? What is it? What is the pleasure of God toward us? Well, it's the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it was the Father's good pleasure. It was the Father's good pleasure. I've asked you often as we've been thinking these days about the Lord Jesus Christ, how often have you been thinking about the Lord Jesus this week? Does the Lord Jesus ever cross your mind? Do you have in your life and your schedule, are you enough preoccupied with thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ that you speak with Him, you pray, you worship, you honor Him, you glorify Him? Do you think about, you see, if you love somebody, if you're in relationship with someone, if you're reconciled to someone, you think about them often and they're on your mind all the time. How can you say you're a Christian and never think about the Lord Jesus? To me, that's unimaginable. That I would say I'm a Christian and I don't ever think about the Lord Jesus. I've asked you also during these times, as we learned last week as we were looking at the Lord Jesus, verse 18, who is the head of the body, the church, that He's to have first place in everything. I ask you this, is the Lord Jesus first in everything in your life? Have you put Him first in your marriage, first in your family, first with your kids, first with your grandkids, first in your job, First in all that you're desiring to do, all of your own personal goals, is the Lord Jesus first. Well, you see, these things are very important to us. And as we come to see the glory of the Lord Jesus as reconciler, we must remember verse 15. He's the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, He's the creator of all things. Verse number 18, He's the head of the church. And now we find the truth that He's the reconciler between holy God and sinful men. Look, I cannot emphasize this. I can't stress it enough. I'll do the best I can with my language and focus today to help draw your attention to this very critical matter of reconciliation with God. So it pleased the Father for two things. Notice what they are, and I've put them here on the screen for you. There are two things, verse 19, 20. Two things that please the Father. First, that all the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. The Lord is full, the fullness of God. This fullness word has the idea of a spring or a source of water, a source that never runs out. It's just constantly coming out. It's fullness. You can't empty it. There's no end to it. Always flowing out, always full, abundant, just coming. There's a fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish I could stay here because this is something we must learn to think about, the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ in His person, who He is. In His person, He was fully God, having all the power of God, having all the attributes of God, having all the nature and character of God, but He was also in flesh. He was fully human. Our family these days, we have a newborn child in the family. And this reminds me, it's such a powerful lesson for me. The Lord's used it to remind me of the fullness of the Lord Jesus' humanity. There's this little helpless infant in our family, just a month old. And the Lord Jesus became one of us, just like all of you were once helpless infants. You got to have somebody feed you. You got to have somebody change you. You got to have somebody clothe you. You've got to have someone warm you and care for you and hold you. The absolute humiliation. The Lord Jesus, fully human. He feels what you feel. He knows how you are. He understands what it's like to be limited in time, to get tired, to get thirsty, to get hungry, to be tempted. He knows what it's like. He is, all the fullness of God is in Him. Fully God, able to do anything as He did as He walked the earth, but fully human. Fully God and fully man. And because of that, He is full and able to do this. It pleased the Father for all fullness to dwell in Him. Why? Through Him to reconcile us. You see, it's because the Lord Jesus is fully God, fully man, and He's full, by the way, of grace and truth, John tells us in John 1. Not only is He full of grace and truth, but He is full of obedience. The Lord Jesus was perfectly obedient to God the Father. He fully obeyed God. And I could mention numerous other things that describe the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I mention that because He is full in obedience. He perfectly obeyed the law of God. We've been studying the 10 words. He fulfilled and obeyed the law of God perfectly and did what God the Father sent Him to do. Die on the cross. What do we have in this verse? For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself. How did He do it? Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Oh, the bloody cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand this, my friend. When the Lord said in agony, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He is expressing to us the absolute horror of being separated from God because all sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And He cried out in forsakenness. The cross, The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of making peace with God. The satisfaction for sin is paid, and now there's a way to be restored in relationship to God. And it took the Lord Jesus Christ being utterly forsaken by God. What's it like to be reconciled? It's to be restored to a relationship with God. You see, God the Father is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ, the reconciler. The second observation comes as we read verse number 21. And although, you see, all of this was going on. We learn in the book of Romans, Paul talks about, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, 8. Now we read, while this is going on, while this dramatic thing has taken place in the cross of the Lord Jesus, 2,000 plus years ago, historically, when He died on the cross, a way of being reconciled to God, no more sacrifices, no more animal, no more smoke, no more flowing blood at a temple. No more was needed because once and for all, Jesus Christ died so that a way is made to have a relationship with God, to be reconciled. And although you were formerly, and I'm talking now to my friends who are saved in this room, you had a former life. You remember what that life was like? The former life. I still remember as a 9-year-old boy, I lied. I was a thief. I was disrespectful to my parents. I was a sinner. A 9-year-old sinner. And I could be mean and I could be ugly and I could do terrible things. And I needed a Savior. You remember your former life? You remember where God found you? Although you were formerly. What was you see? You have a former life. When you get saved, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a former life. The old is gone and you're a new person, but you've got an old way. You've got an old nature. That's what we talked about months ago when we talked about the battle. Learning how to kill sin in our life before it comes back. Because it will. The old nature is still in us. And we have a new nature now being born again. But you were formerly. I'm talking to my friends here who are born again. You have a former life. I want you to see this morning something very, very important. You may be saved and have a former life, but did you know many today are still living in a separated life from God? Sinful man lives a separated life from a holy God in his sinfulness or her sinfulness. Although you were formerly, notice this, what are the words that describe being separated from God? Well, Paul says you're alienated from God. He says you're hostile in your mind toward God. And he says you live in evil deeds. When I am said, this is so important for me to say, oh, may the Lord help us all to hear these words. May these words settle in your mind and may they motivate you to be a witness for Jesus. Oh, may these words not be wasted. Today in your family, people who do not know Jesus Christ are separated from the holy God because of their sinfulness and their unwillingness to repent and be saved. And if they're not saved, they will soon die and be separated from God forever. Eternal separation or eternal reconciliation. That's it. Eternal reconciliation or eternal separation. Does anything move us anymore? Does anything get our attention anymore? Have we gone to sleep? Because we're so satisfied in the grace of God, we do not turn our eyes out. You sit by them in your school, my student friends, boys and girls. You go to the store and they're all around you. You drive your cars down the road surrounded by them. They sit at your table in your house. The separated ones from God. Although you were formerly this way. I want to pause and say, this is what it's like to be separated from, you're alienated. The word means strangers. They got up this morning, they have no thoughts about God. They're not thinking about God. In fact, when they do think about God, they laugh about it and say, well, you know, that's just foolishness. Alienated from God, strangers to God. Paul says it in another place, Ephesians 2:12. They are those that are alienated from God because of their sinfulness and their unwillingness to be saved are without hope and without God in this world. Oh, what a miserable state to be in, without hope and without God. Hostile in mind. Hostile in mind toward God. This word hostility has to do with rebellion, with resistance. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to talk about Jesus Christ, the Lord. They don't want to know anything about the Bible. There's hostility. As the fellow told us one time we were handing out Bibles, the man said to me, he said, no, we don't take any Bibles in our house. We don't want to corrupt our children with all those myths. You're surprised by that? That's the way most of the people on the planet think and live. Don't live under a rock. Don't confuse yourself. The whole world isn't clamoring to worship and honor the Lord Jesus today. Most think that what we do here today in honoring the Lord Jesus is foolishness. Hostility, in fact, it gets so hostile that they want to make legislation in the United States of America against reading the Bible or talking about Jesus or doing this or the other. In America, I'm not talking about China. I'm talking about the United States of America. Hostility toward God in mind. Paul says it in Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, they knew not God, and they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Sinful man lives in separation, alienated from God, strangers to the things of God. The man who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, the woman who doesn't know the Lord, they don't know the joy of prayer. They don't know what it means to have peace. They don't know what it means to have satisfaction. They don't know what it means to have joy. They don't know what it means to have someone who cares about you deeply. And to have a relationship that transcends all the troubles of life, alienated from God, hostile in mind, and living in evil deeds. They wake up and they go to bed thinking about something else they can do out of self-centeredness. And if someone crosses them, they're going to do something to hurt or harm that person. And they curse God when they have problems. Sinful man separated from a holy God. Although you were formerly, but some are still today. The multitudes and masses of the world, my dear friends, are alienated, hostile in mind, and engaged in evil deeds, and do not care about the Lord Jesus Christ, or salvation, or the church, or any of these things. But then Paul goes on and says, the great transition. Because the Lord Jesus reconciled us through the cross, verse number 22. Yet, you see, verse 21 and 22 are one sentence. Although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death. For what reason? Because now you have a new relationship and standing with God. This is an astounding statement. It sounds like a total contradiction. Because I'm a saved sinner, I still have sin that comes in my life, and yet I'm a saved sinner, and I'm now presented because I've believed in Jesus and I'm in Christ. He presents me to God the Father. Look at this in verse 22. As holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. What an amazing thing. Let's look at these three words for just a moment, verse 22. Look at them. Go to that next slide and we'll look at these. We're reconciled to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, when we believe in Him by faith, we become new people in Christ. That's why Paul said in Colossians 1:27, he said, we preach Christ, Jesus, the mystery from all the ages past, and here's the mystery, Christ in you. Listen, today, if you're saved, Christ is in you. And you are in Christ. And because you have been mystically, spiritually joined together. We talked about this last week as we talked about the body of Christ. Because you are now joined to Christ and Christ is joined to you. You are now presented in Christ to God the Father. He doesn't see you that way He used to see you, separated and in sin. He sees you as a holy one. You're a saint. He sees you now in Christ, the blameless one, and you're blameless. He sees you now without fault because you're in the faultless one. The holy one, the blameless one, the faultless one is the Lord Jesus. Those who are saved come to have this unbelievable relationship and standing with God. You now stand in your position in Christ as a holy one, a blameless one, and a faultless one. That's why when you sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you and your conscience grieves you and you want to get rid of the sin in your life. You grow in Christ's likeness. Paul said it in another place, Philippians chapter 3, 9. He said, to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own. This is Philippians 3, 9. Not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through Christ. The righteousness which comes through Christ. You see, because the Lord Jesus fully obeyed and died on the cross, He took care of the law of God. You're not condemned anymore. You're now a holy one. And here's what Paul and the other apostles kept writing to the church. It's what I'll now say to you. Act like a holy one. You've been now made in Christ a holy one. Live in a holy way. Live like Jesus in an unholy world. You see, when you're really saved, when you come to know the Lord, you're not happy living back in that mess. That former mess you used to go and live in. You don't like the former way. You might get back in it for a while, but it doesn't last and it troubles you because you're now a holy one in God. Blameless. Well, before, you were always blamed and you deserved it because you and I all sin. We deserve the blame. But when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we become unblameable. Even though the devil may assail and accuse you and say these things to God, he doesn't deserve to be saved. That Mike Miller, he's done all these things. No, in Christ, I'm unblameable. In Christ, I'm a saint. In Christ, I am, look at this, beyond reproach, faultless. That's why we would read such astounding words as 2 Corinthians 5:18. He reconciled us to Himself through Christ. That's what it means to be reconciled. You now have a new relationship with God. And because, you know, when somebody's reconciled, they make the most of their restored relationship with the one with whom they've been reconciled. A number of years ago, Pat and I knew a couple that went through a terrible divorce. Very ugly, very bitter, lots of words, lots of angriness, lots of bad things. Took their kids all through it. Both of them very self-centered about things, and they just decided that they weren't going to forgive, and they just, that's it. There was a dear lady in the church, and she had been through divorce. She loved the Lord Jesus. She wasn't a perfect person, but she decided she was going to stay with both of these two because they were both dear friends to her. And she prayed with them and talked with them and for a long time, and then the Lord, through a series of things, as He always does, here was somebody who was willing to be the reconciler. And these two got back together, this couple, they were remarried, and sometimes it was just embarrassing to be around them because they were always so gooey-gooey and all that stuff with each other. But when they were reconciled to each other, they had such a deep love for each other and felt so horrible about the way they had lived separated from each other. And you know what they did with their friend? She was invited. Every time their family got together, she was there. You know why? She was the reconciler. You know, many times we think about being saved and all the wonderful things we have as a result of being saved, but we forget the one who saved us. We leave out the reconciler. It somehow gets turned that we deserve it. We don't deserve anything but hell and judgment. Not a one of us. But the reconciler, the Lord Jesus Christ, He pleased God the Father because in Him all the fullness dwelt, and through Him He reconciled all things to Himself, to God the Father, having made peace. Peace. No longer does the law say you're guilty. No, there's no condemnation. Freed from it. What did Paul say? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I conclude, here are just several statements from verse 23. I call this daily use. So how do we think about this week? Well, number one, Paul says here, if you are now a holy one, a blameless one, beyond reproach, verse 22, continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Let me ask you this today, my friend. Have you really been reconciled to God? When somebody recognizes how horrible it is to be separated from God, and they're saved and reconciled to God, they just want to get more and more of God. They want to be with the Lord. They want to study the Word of God. They want to read the Word of God. They want to be with God's people. They want to pray. They think about the Lord. Have you been reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ? You can live your whole life and go to church and be fooled. You must be reconciled to God. You must be reconciled to God. Are you reconciled to God? Or do you inside, quietly, privately, you're mad at God. You hate God. You're rebelling against God. You must be reconciled. And live in confidence in your relationship. You're now a holy one, a blameless one, a faultless one. Live up to your calling. Live up to what you've been called to do. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow every day in your holiness. You know, as we walk with God, there ought to be a greater... Are you listening to me? There ought to be a greater holiness in your life after 10 years of being saved than when you first started. You ought to know much more about the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you and helping you than you did when you first started. Reconciled people love to be together. Reconciled people love to think about each other. Reconciled people want more of each other. Do you want more of the Lord Jesus? And today, as we finish, perhaps more than anything else, here's the way you worship. You thank the Lord Jesus Christ for being the supreme reconciler. You and I are reconciled to a holy God today. We have peace with God, those of us who are saved, because we believe by faith in the finished work of Jesus. Oh, when He said, "It is finished," the way to be reconciled to God was done. Was done. But you must be willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved.